Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 25th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. We're closing out a week's worth of pledge drive. Only a couple more days for you to call this number, 217-9455. That's 217. Agricultural information.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Former Enron executives Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling faced decades behind bars for their role in Enron's demise in 2001. Today, a jury in Houston found Lay guilty on all six counts against him for conspiracy and fraud. Skilling, meanwhile, was found guilty on 19 of the 28 counts against him. Former Enron employees such as Richard Evans said they were satisfied with the outcome.
There are other people that are down here. That this is almost like the Astros winning the World Series, if you will. They're just extremely elated over them being found guilty on just about all of the charges.
Sentencing is scheduled for September 11th. The corruption trial of former Bush administration appointee David Safavian is in its second day. The government's star witness, a one-time congressional staffer and lobbyist named Neil Volz, may be called to testify this afternoon. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
David Safavian, once the administration's top procurement officer, is the first defendant to go on trial in the scandal surrounding ex-lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Abramoff was once a star among Republican lobbyists. In January, he pleaded guilty to fraud and conspiracy to bribe members of Congress. Safavian is charged with withholding information and obstructing justice. It has to do with advice he gave Abramoff on lobbying and with a golfing trip he took to Scotland with Abramoff and Ohio Congressman Bob Ney. Neil Volz, who worked for Congressman Ney and then for Abramoff, was also on the trip. He's expected to testify about how it was financed. Volz has pleaded guilty but hasn't yet been sentenced. Yesterday, Safavian's lawyer said Volz is crawling out of jail on David Safavian's back. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
An international refugee agency says 3,000 villagers have fled their homes in southern Afghanistan after a week of some of the most intense fighting since the overthrow of the Taliban. NPR's Ivan Watson has this from Kabul.
The International Organization for Migration says many of the refugees have taken shelter in a dried-out gully in the southern city of Kandahar. Many are from the nearby district of Panjwai, which was the scene of intense fighting earlier this week and the target of a deadly series of U.S. airstrikes, which killed, according to the United Nations, at least 20 Afghan civilians. The incident occurred early Monday after Taliban fighters took shelter in a village called Azizi. Yesterday, Afghan President Hamid Karzai summoned the country's top U.S. commander to his office to personally explain the incident. The American military has apologized for the civilian casualties. A U.S. military spokesman says the Taliban has recently grown in strength and influence in three southern Afghan provinces. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Kabul.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 61 points at 11,178. This is NPR News. British Prime Minister Tony Blair, just back from a trip to Iraq, will tell President Bush his impressions of Iraq's new leader. Mr. Bush hosts Blair this evening at the White House. Officials say there will be no announcement on withdrawal of U.S. forces. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says he will call a national referendum if the Hamas leadership does not decide in 10 days to support a Palestinian state that recognizes Israel. Abbas issued the ultimatum during a meeting today aimed at stopping infighting that has claimed several Palestinian lives in recent days. Hamas, which has pledged Israel's destruction, has been locked in a power struggle over security and other matters with Abbas's Fatah party since it assumed control of parliament this year. Two Alabama-based banks say they will join forces for a merging of equals. Regions Financial Corporation and AmSouth Bank have announced that they will combine to create one of the nation's largest banks. From member station WBHM in Birmingham, Steve Chiatakis has the story.
It is a marriage of next-door neighbors, the combining of Alabama's two biggest banks, which happen to be two of the nation's biggest banks, Regions and AmSouth. The combined company, which stays headquartered in Birmingham, will have more than $140 billion in total assets and about 2,000 branches in 16 states. University of Alabama Banking Chair Dr. Benton Gupp says there's a big issue with overlap, considering the two banks share a lot of territory.
I think the most interesting question dealing with this are the antitrust implications that whether the Department of Justice will approve two banks with such overlapping areas to merge.
If approved, the bank will be known as Regions Financial and will be one of the 10 biggest holding companies in the United States. For NPR News, I'm Steve Chiatakis in Birmingham.
And I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Ford Foundation, a resource for innovative people and institutions worldwide, on the web at fordfound.org.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a tornado watch for portions of East Central and Southern Illinois and most of Indiana. That'll effective this Thursday afternoon and evening until 9 o'clock Central Time. A tornado watch in effect for the following counties: Clark, Cumberland, and Edgar counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 25th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. We're closing out a week's worth of pledge drive. Only a couple more days for you to call this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to the radio station that brings you ag programming 6 days a week. In just a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker today of AgriVisor Services. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market, of course, with Bill Mayer up at the grain elevator located in Lexington, Illinois. Also this half hour, Dave Dickey will be along to tell you more about how your money can go a little further when you pledge that financial support to this radio station. That'll happen just a bit later. And we'll hear from Peter Levitt, of course, meteorologist, just after the bottom of the hour to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast all across the globe and around this nation. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at 409.5, down 2.25 today. September futures at 423.25, they were off a penny and 3/4. Kansas City wheat finished the July contract at $4.98.75, down 2.75. July corn, 253.25, they were up 3.75 today. September futures at 64.25, up 3.25. And December contract at $2.78, up 3.75. March futures, 288.25. Up 3.5 cents. July soybeans finished at 584.25, up a penny and 3/4. The August futures at 590.5, up 1.5. And the September contract at 596.25, up a penny and a half. November beans up 1.5 today at 608.75. Bean meal finished the July contract at 173.50, up 120. And the bean oil at 2509 was up 01 for the day. Feeder cattle, the May contract from the Mercantile Exchange, they were a nickel higher at $103.40. June live cattle at $78.42.5. Or 47.5 cents higher, and the lean hogs finished 50 lower at $60.95 for the day. Outside markets, crude oil, July contract, $71.35 a barrel, up $1.49. The CRB at $346.39, up 3.88. The dollar at 84.70 at this hour, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,177, 59 points higher, and the June gold at $648.50. They're up $11 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Just a reminder that now's the time to pick up that phone and dial 217-244-9455, 217-BIG-WILL, with your pledge of financial support to the radio station that brings you analysis of the markets each and every business day of the year, including from this man, Dan Zwicker, AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looking forward to a Memorial Day weekend?
Sure am.
And it looks like the rain's going to fall across the Midwest, at least this part of the world. And in parts of the world, I think probably there in Bloomington, you've already seen a little rainfall.
Yeah, we got some here last night. We haven't been real wet, but we've had just enough around to kind of keep things kind of nice and green, really, and hot and humid.
Tell me about the marketplace as you view the technical situation for the corn and the wheat.
Well, at least corn, we had a pretty good hit this week. At least today, corn began to show some stabilization and at least a tendency now to recover some of what it's lost. So what we need to see now in the corn market is some follow-through strength from today's advance. Then the next big hurdle for corn is that it needs to bust into new highs. It needs to keep the uptrend going. It will need to punch out the highs here we had here about a week ago or whatever. I think these corn was up around 86 or so. So that'll be something to watch for, maybe not necessarily tomorrow because we're going into a three-day weekend. But I would say by the a week from today, the end of next week, to keep the momentum to the upside, corn needs to be into new high ground. Or otherwise, one would begin to, if it fails to go into new highs, then you would begin to look for a shift in trend to something that would be more sideways to lower rather than the climb that we've pretty well experienced over the past several months.
So the December contract, a high of 287 and a quarter, not too terribly long ago. You think it needs to go through that to keep the momentum to the upside? If it doesn't, what's the potential to the downside?
Well, then we're probably going to fall back underneath this week's low, which is, I think, somewhere around 71 or 72. You start falling down underneath 270, and then I think then all of a sudden you're going to start flashing on some mechanical sell signals. A lot of your trading systems, I think, will start going short anytime you start trading underneath 270. So then what you'll do then is this big fund position that's long, you'll see them begin to exit out of their longs. The index funds would maybe exit out of longs. Your actual trading funds then would roll out of longs and start going short. So, I'm just giving you kind of a technical perspective.
Sure.
I think is if this thing would start going down underneath 70, I think it would set the stages in for a quick return to 250. And then we'd just sit around and kind of wait and see how the crop develops and what kind of numbers we get out of the June 30th acres report and June stocks report and what kind of July weather we have to see whether or not the market would want to go on up and, you know, penetrate the May high or if that was the high for the year or not.
It seems to me that most people believe it to be a given that the cash basis will be as bad or worse by the time we get to fall harvest this year, unless, of course, we get a short crop. But under normal conditions, that probably would be the case. What is it that you tell farmers that really they sell their crop over the scale? What do they need to be doing at this point to make sure that they get the most out of that crop, even if they can't store it at all?
Well, they have to go with the cash forward contract, and of course, you know, they're going to look at the basis levels that they're being shot at and can kind of compare them to maybe what they were 2 years ago, and they're not going to feel that they're very attractive. I kind of think we've kind of drew a line in the sand, so to speak, on basis levels. I think everything, when you look at basis levels, you need to call it pre-Katrina or post-Katrina. I think there's a different that's kind of the drawn line, just kind of like the war on terror and terrorism. The 9/11 is kind of the line, you know.
So what you're telling me is 9/11
or post 9/11.
So what you're telling me is that you have to consider current basis normal as opposed to white.
Well, you have to say that the rules have changed. We're maybe still sorting out some of those changes in rules. Nothing's done in concrete, but I think we may be in a period where we're going to have to grow accustomed to some of these basis levels that are going to be a little wider than maybe what they were prior to Katrina. So I think you have to take that in perspective. You also got to take it in perspective is probably the farmer still has to look at the net cash price, probably more so than get all wound up in basis levels and futures levels. It's the net cash selling price. So, but the other thing is I somewhat disagree with if the crowd feels that basis levels are going to continue to widen into the fall months. I guess I'm going to take exception to that. I think we're going to see the widest basis levels fairly soon here. I think we're probably in a free fall here. If the weather pattern is good and the crop continues to come on real strong here over the next couple of weeks, I think come July you could see some disaster-type basis levels, maybe have some of the widest basis levels of the year during this July-August time frame. And by the time fall comes around, the basis levels may be back much stronger than maybe what they were here in the summer months. So I'm not necessarily in the camp that basis levels were widened into the fall. And the reason I say that, we've got a lot of old corn and a lot of old beans that needs to get moved here, and I think that's going to come ahead of what we've been used to over the past couple of years.
We need to interrupt for just a second, and we'll continue our conversation. The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning now for northern Champaign County and east central Illinois and central Vermilion County and east central Illinois, that until 3:15 this afternoon. At 2:07, the National Service Doppler radar indicated a line of severe thunderstorms capable of producing penny-sized hail and damaging winds in excess of 60 miles an hour. These storms are located along a line extending from Alvin to Thomasboro, or along a line extending from 14 miles north of Danville to Rantoul, and that was moving east at 25 miles an hour. Locations impacted included Gifford, Rossville, Champaign, and Danville. So Gifford, Rossville, Champaign, Danville, right here in Champaign County. Other locations in the warning area including Armstrong and Rantoul. This is a particularly dangerous storm. If you're in its path, prepare immediately for damaging winds, destructive hail, and deadly cloud-to-ground lightning. People outside should move to a shelter, preferably inside a strong building, but stay away from windows. Report any severe weather or damage to your local emergency manager or the nearest law enforcement agency or relay to the National Weather Service. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 3:15 this afternoon for Champaign County and East Central Illinois and Central Vermilion County here in East Central Illinois. Locations impacted immediately include Gifford, Rossville, Champaign, Danville, Armstrong, and Rantoul in the path of that storm potentially as well. Okay, let's go back to where we are on this cash basis. I knew you, or at least I figured you might be, Dan, somebody who would take the opposite idea on this, or you tend to be a contrarian on the basis, but I want to know why you think it'll be so wide in the near term. What's in the marketplace that gives you that feeling?
It's the funneling of a large amount of inventory into a narrow window. It's part of this whole marketing structure that's happened basically since we've incorporated the marketing loan into our farm policy. It's where you have the end of the marketing year dump where people have it under loan. They just push it into the marketplace, take their LDPs or their offsetting loan deal. They get loan for it and they just move it. So it's the funneling effect of a large amount of inventory into a fairly narrow window. And I think the reason I say that by fall I think it'll be much narrower is because by fall we will be into this demand market that everybody's looking ahead to. But in the near term here, we got a funneling effect of a large amount of inventories that need to get moved into the pipeline. And then the bins are empty, then the demand market will be much stronger in the fall. So I kind of So I kind of look for this V, so to speak, to come in the middle of the year, which would be more like a July, maybe August. But by the time the combines start rolling, things will be much better than what they are here during the July till. Now, the beans, same thing. Now, the beans, we're still, and see, corn, we're going to produce a crop smaller than demand, so we're going to be pulling down inventory. So that's why I think by the time fall comes around, things will be much better as far as basis levels. They ain't going to be like they were prior to Katrina, but I think they could be much better than what they are here this summer. Now, beans, we're still dependent upon what kind of yield you put on it. I suppose whether or not we're going to keep inventory levels steady or we'll bump them up, we'll have to see. But I think the bean market then will be looking further ahead and looking at a smaller South American crop, another acreage shrink. And then I think it'll look further down the road that farmers will be maybe shifting more acres to corn to satisfy the growing demand base of the energy, developing energy market, and then bean acres will be coming down a year from now. So I think the worst of the market could come at us here while we're dumping out these large record inventories being held by farmers and country elevators that are wanting to clean out their bin to be ready to absorb the new crop harvest pressure and keep everything under roof. So that's why I think the worst could come fairly soon here, and then by the time we get down the road, things would be a little different.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoon. Hey, dial this number right now, 217-244-9455. That's the number to dial with your pledge of financial support to this radio station, a radio station, WILL AM 580, that brings you agricultural programming each and every business day of the year and every Saturday with Commodity Week. If it's important to you, if it makes a difference in the way you market your crop, if it makes a difference in your production practices, if it makes a difference to you, dial in now, 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey, there are so many services here in the ag programming. Sometimes it's hard for you and I to keep track of it. We have the on-air service. We have the web service. We have podcasting. And we have a weekend newsletter, too.
All value-added services as well as our Outlook meetings, Todd. And we want to thank this afternoon. We want to thank David Trimble from Farmer City. We want to thank Alan Adden from Pena. We want to thank Ray Aiden from St. Joe. And we want to thank Alan Campbell over in Bismarck, Illinois. Why are we thanking all these people? Because they all took the AgriGold Hybrid Farm Credit Service Challenge. Two of our underwriters want to encourage our agricultural audience to join them in supporting AM 580 Agriculture. Both will add $5 each for a total of $10 to every pledge at the basic membership level. That's $40. Or more, up to 100 pledges. As far, we've received 48 pledges with 2 days of pledging to go, so we have room for another 51 pledges. Of course, that would be an additional $1,000. I had to take my shoes off and use my hands to figure that out. But an additional $1,000 for AM 580 Agriculture. And today, for the rest of the Closing Market Report, if you make that phone call at 217-244-9455, I will match the AgriGold Hybrid Farm Credit Service Challenge. $10 from them, $10 for me, your $40 pledge at 217-244-9455, worth $60, your $100 pledge worth $120. Again, we take a MasterCard, Visa, Discover, and American Express. And as I did the math this afternoon when it came in, Todd, we're just $17 away from meeting our daily fundraising goal.
Oh, well,
of
that's easy.
$75,000.
Somebody needs to pick up the phone then, don't they?
Yes, they do.
217-244-9455. That is the number to call. Don't delay. Do it right now. Here it is, 217-244-9455. Call in. Be the person who puts us over the top for the daily goal and help us along towards our weekly goal here at the radio station. You know, we have a partnership. We built it with you over the years and all of the public that listens to WILL, in particular the agricultural audience, because the agricultural programming has been here day in and day out since the very first day that this radio station went on the air. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The very first broadcast, an extension agent talking about dairy cattle on this radio station, that back in what year, 1922, Dave, is that correct?
I believe it was 1922.
Long time ago. So it's important, but you need to pick up the phone right now and dial this number, 217-244-9455. One of the things that we do is we keep track not only of the markets, but we're always talking to folks about what the marketplace might look like. And I think that if you've got time this evening, you need to do two things on your computer. You got to stop by the WILL website at WILLAG.org and get subscribed to our newsletter. That'll be arriving in your email box this weekend sometime. And then also hit the FarmDoc website and read the weekly outlook this week from Chris.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, it's a great read, all about ethanol production. Do you know that in there, this is a number that I find hard to believe. Chris suggests that an ethanol producer could actually play at this point with $3 a gallon ethanol at the on the board. I think that's where he picked that number up.
Yes,
$7 for corn.
That's what he was saying.
So this is, and Chris has a lot of insight about what things might do in the future. In fact, I talked to Chris for about 20 minutes this morning, and in the weekend newsletter, we'll link that particular story, and you can hear that raw, unedited interview this weekend. So it's just one of the extra services that we do here. Dave, what's the number they should dial?
217-244-9455. We're just $17 away from our daily goal of $75,000. So the first pledge to 217-244-9455 this afternoon. That's 217-BIG-WILL. We'll put us over the top of our daily goal. Again, we accept Visa, Discover, MasterCard, American Express card, and get into AgriGold and Farm Credit Services pockets for $10 and Dave Dickey's pocket for an additional $10. Your $40 pledge worth $60, your $100 pledge worth $120.
Thanks much, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Tom Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. In just a couple of moments, we'll talk with Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. And until then, we'll tell you about one of our local underwriters.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Bill Mayer now on the line with us from Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Now, in your area, the rain has fallen or not?
Yeah, we got some pretty good rains yesterday. We haven't gotten anything today, but enough to keep them out of the fields for today for sure. And some damage, some severe stuff, but overall, never want to complain about rain.
Yeah, not too much. The corn crop's starting to look better, a little bit better, that which is up. I have a little better green color to it now.
Yeah, I think the corn crop really is looking good here, nice and coming up nice and even, and looks like good population, so... Yeah, things are looking good right now.
And then how far along do you think they are on the bean planting?
I would say that 95%. I think the majority of the people are done or close to being done.
That's a good thing for your area. How's the basis levels holding up then?
Well, kind of interesting. We kind of had a difference on the corn last week. The river basis was 3 to 8 cents better, and really the processors haven't done much of anything on the bean side of things. Not much has happened, and that's kind of a surprising development because we've had beans down so much here in the last 2 weeks. So kind of expected maybe some increase in improvement in basis, but really not much is happening.
And your expectations over the next week?
I think we can maybe see this corn basis to continue to improve along the river, and that may pull into some of the processing markets. One thing that's interesting that's happening here that we have seen this week is we are seeing some corn move out of the western corn belt and into Kansas for storage purposes to displace, you know, some of the, or to fill some of the empty space that is not going to be filled with wheat.
Oh, those elevators are buying up wheat in that area? Is that
you know,
what
you got some pretty good carry in the market, so, you know, might as well use your space for
something. They're going to store that there.
That might give you a little bit of hope for this basis down the road.
Yeah, what might that do, for instance, to the guys that are sitting on the loader trains that make the runs into Texas. Is that create a problem later on for them out of Illinois?
Well, I think it probably in the near term helps, you know, maybe move some of that corn from the western bases a different direction instead of into the Texas market now. Could later on, yeah, it could make a difference, or that could go to the Pacific Northwest eventually, too.
Okay. And your bids for the day are what?
Cash corn, 222, new crop, 241, beans, 549, new crop, 572.
Bill, we thank you much.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joining us from the elevator there in that little town just north of Bloomington. Checking in very quickly with Dave Dickey to see how things are going along. I saw some phone lights lit up back there, but it looks like you need to have a few more phones ringing to me.
Need a phone wave right now at 217-244-9455. Remember, we have a lot of money on the table right now, about $500 from AgriGold and Farm Credit Services, and $10 out of Dave Dickey's back pocket for every call we receive through the end of this broadcast. 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. Your $40 pledge worth $60, your $100 pledge worth $120, and at that $100 level, a couple of great gifts for you, including an AM580 style baseball hat with our brand new spanking agricultural logo on it. You get that for $100, and you get the 2-for-1 member benefit card, good for restaurant dining across Illinois, as well at that $100 level. So a lot there for you. 217-244-9455 right now. Get into Dave Dickey's back pocket for $10.
You're going to make that happen this afternoon. And then that AgriGold and the Farm Credit Services, we need you to ring those phones because we need about 50 more phone calls in the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Saturday, to make that goal. So we need to get those calls rolling in. Thanks to all that 50 folks already that have called in. And if you've never pledged before, this is probably a great time to pick up the phone and dial that pledge in at 217-244-9455. That's 217 Big Will. In now to take a look at the regional newscast is Jim Meadows. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd, and here's a look at AM 580 News. House Speaker Dennis Hastert is accusing the Justice Department of trying to intimidate him in retaliation for his criticism of the FBI's weekend raid on a Louisiana congressman's office. Hastert responded during an interview with WGN Radio to an ABC News report that quoted a law enforcement source as saying that Hastert is in the mix of the Justice Department's investigation into influence peddling by convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. The Justice Department has denied it's investigating Hastert, and the speaker has demanded a retraction from ABC News, which refused. Arthur Culver's contract as Champaign School Superintendent has been extended an additional 2 years. The Unit 4 School Board voted 5-2 last night to extend Culver's contract until 2011. School Board President Margie Skirvin says board members are pleased with Culver's performance, particularly his success in improving academic performance in the early grades. A pending land deal has canceled an annual celebration of American Indian culture that was scheduled for next week at the site of a historic Kickapoo settlement in McLean County. But property owner Bill Emmett says the prospective buyers plan to resume the event in the future. Emmett and his late wife Doris launched the annual powwow after buying the Grand Village of the Kickapoo Park near Leroy to halt a proposed hog farm. One of the people injured by deer at Southern Illinois University is suing over injuries she received on the Carbondale campus last year. Doctoral student Nancy Wang is one of at least 10 people injured at SIUC in the past year by deer attacks. Purdue University officials say they may be forced to shut down air conditioning to parts of the campus at West Lafayette, Indiana, on hot days this summer. The university says it doesn't have the money to expand its air conditioning system to serve a growing campus. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northern Champaign County and east central Illinois and central Vermilion County and east central Illinois. That in effect until 3:15 central time this afternoon. At 2:07, the National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a line of severe thunderstorms that were capable of penny-sized hail and damaging winds in excess of 60 miles an hour. Locations impacted include Gifford, Rossville, Champaign, Danville, and potentially Armstrong along with Rantoul. Joining us now on AM 580 is Pete Levitt to take a look at the forecast across the two-state region. Have you been watching those storms here in the state of Illinois?
Yes, we have, Todd, and we have the band. The main band extends from east of Purdue University area in Indiana, west-southwestward right across Danville, and then to Champaign. You've had a couple of cells go by you to the east, another one just on top of you right now. That back one doesn't look particularly potent. However, the front one looks like it's the one with the severe weather, but the back one still contains some fairly good gusts. Then to the west of that, there is nothing when you follow that line westward, but there are other bands further north in the state, one running from about Peoria eastward to Kankakee, and a third one even further north up around I-80. So these systems are moving in an east-southeastward direction. I don't think those back ones will get to you, but it's just a combination of some cooler air working in on a trough that's approaching from the west and clashing with some moist and humid air and some warmer temperatures farther east. And I think that will subside tonight, and I think you'll be out of the woods for, I think, the rest of the weekend. Looks reasonably good. The main action will move eastward, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Illinois and areas farther west should be on the western edge of most of this action. So I think the weekend will start out maybe with considerable cloudiness, but then gradually improve during the weekend period. So at least we can look forward to that. And as far as temperatures concerned, right around the normals for this time of year, so nothing untoward, either too cool or too warm.
And anything else before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, we're still looking at the southern plains. The heat is on for the southern plains. They had a little episode of showers for the past few days, and now the hot air is moving in. It's moving in today. It'll be there tomorrow, not quite as hot, but then hotter Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And by that time, any damage that hot weather can do, and it's considerable damage still left to do in the northern part of the Belt region, will probably be completed, and then it really doesn't matter whether it rains or not beyond that.
Pete, we appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. Quick reminder that the severe weather statement and the National Weather Service reissuing the statement, in fact, just a couple of minutes ago that we told you about. People in Thomasboro, Rantoul, Gifford, and Rossville are in the area of this storm. Rossville added to that list. The winds in excess of 60 miles an hour. These storms located along a line extending from 7 miles east of Rossville to Potomac to 5 miles southeast of Thomasboro, or along a line extending 18 miles north of Danville to 16 miles northwest of Danville to 7 miles north of Champaign. And these things are moving east at 25 miles an hour. People in these locations still threatened. Thomasboro, Rantoul, Gifford, and Rossville. It's a dangerous storm. If you're in its path, get out of its way. Damaging winds, destructive hail, deadly cloud to ground lightning. People outside should move to shelter, preferably inside a strong building. But stay away from those windows. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Market Report, and more than ever, be safe out there this afternoon.